Baby, I'm gonna be fine. It's not that bad out here. I'm alright.
Take off those heels, lay on my.
Welcome back to Raised in the Shaw with me, Joel Clayfish. You're listening to 101 FM WAUK 540 AM, The Shaw. And you know, I cannot ever help coming to The Shaw, being in The Shaw, and thinking about Jimmy's Grotto Panzeradas.
Those are so good. Oh my goodness, they are great.
And you try to describe a Jimmy's Grotto Panzerada to somebody, and they just, you try to describe it, and they, you just can't do it justice, and you can't get them to actually understand how delicious it is. There's something about that crust.
Extra cheese and sausage. Extra cheese and sausage.
I get the works on them. And then there's always, like, if you get pepperoni, there's that pep stack in there where they're all stacked together at the end, and you're trying to separate them and eat them, and grease is running down your face.
Oh, I love them.
Man, it's awesome. We got Dan Trawicki with us today. He's a longtime member of Safari Club International. He was a longtime member of law enforcement in the state of Wisconsin. And I would say probably one of the most experienced hunters that I know, and has a love and a passion for it that bleeds off to those around him. And fortunately, whether he likes it or not, I have been at his side enough to glean some of that joy and excitement about hunting. And as you know out there, if you know anything about me, you know that I cherish my time afield. And, you know, Dan took us to break talking about taking folks turkey hunting. And I want to just start this segment with kind of the evolution of the hunter. And when you do start hunting, those first kills you get, the first harvests you get are the most exciting. But it's really not that long into hunting where you start, where a more important or something that sits more heavily on your mind is sharing it with people. And I think, you know, you and I think we are at the stage, no question, that we get more excitement taking somebody hunting.
Yeah, by far, by far. You know, we talked about, you know, turkey hunting and all those notches on the call, et cetera. Probably the most fun I have ever had turkey hunting goes back probably 10 years ago. And I was still on the job. And so a bunch of the friends from work, their kids were coming up. And so that season I took 6 different kids in one season, youth hunting, you know, throughout the different blocks of the season, and we killed 6 toms.
Yeah.
I mean, that was a lot of early mornings crawling, and I think for every kid, it was their first turkey.
Wow.
You know, and so that was just the best.
Do you ever, and I have to say, I mean, I've taken kids, I've taken adult men, adult women. I have to, man, I'm not trying to throw you in front of the bus here. But I got to be honest, I think women are innately better shooters than men.
Well,
right off the bat.
Not only that, I think they have a tendency to listen better because they've, you know, I think a lot of, and I'll use myself as an example. We like to think we know everything there is to know about everything. And in fact, women are much more, they have a tendency of wanting to listen and learn and be objective and open-minded. Not that men aren't, but it's just,
well,
but my experience with taking, and I've taken a number of women, including my daughter, and adults hunting, and they're just spot on. They're just really good.
And look, I live with a woman who's a very driven woman, and I have learned throughout life, women are just better at just about everything. And I'm okay saying that. I'm just okay, perfectly okay saying that. The experience you have when somebody's sitting next to you, and that Tom comes out of the woods on the corner of the field opposite you, and you see eyes light up like you've never seen before. It's a look on people's face like you've never seen before. And I always tell everybody that look, I mean, I can't believe people's eyes don't dry out, because I swear they don't blink. That getting that Tom to your decoys or within range of shooting can be a 2-minute ordeal, a 1-minute ordeal. They can be sprinting to the decoys, or you can watch that Tom dancing in the corner for hours.
Right, not going
to
move.
Wondering what you need to do to get him to get closer within range. But the person you're taking is just eyes peeled, staring at that bird. And then when it finally, and very often it's, should I shoot him yet? Should I shoot him yet?
Right.
Should I shoot him yet? And you just kind of come on. Just you want an ethical shot. You want a shot. I put my decoys at like 15 yards. I mean, they're right in front. And I like to have them close enough. And what's amazing to me, when somebody takes their first shot and they hit the turkey the right way and it flops to the ground, 95% of the time, they will stop and look at you and say, did I hit it? They watch themselves shoot the bird. They have a successful hunt, but they're looking to you to ask, you're the experienced hunter, did I hit it? Well, it's right out there for you to go grab. So yes, you did it. You did it. You got it. You got it.
Super exciting. Yeah. And to me, it's more fun than shooting them yourself.
I'd rather
take somebody and experience it through their eyes.
Absolutely.
You know, if I never shoot another turkey the rest of my life, I've got plenty, you know.
That is hands down the truth. And then you hear for the next few weeks all the people who come up and tell you, because this person's posted it all over social media.
Right.
Hey, man, I saw the picture of you hunting with Jill. I saw the picture of you hunting, you know, and it's, I am going to relate one quick story. I took a woman out hunting, Jill Kindler, a very good friend of mine's wife, and she was a bit apprehensive about the whole experience. You know, will I be able to shoot something? Because I always tell people, taking the life of something is a grand occurrence.
Well,
and
no
it should
doubt.
Be appreciated and it should be understood. So when I got in the field with her, we were sitting in a little tent and this turkey came out. And at first before the turkey came out, she said, I don't know if I'll be able to do this. And I said, that's okay. We're here to watch the show then. If something comes out, we'll watch. Well, when that turkey hit the field, she said she was ready. Man, she was, you know, reaching, when do I put the gun up? When am I able to shoot? And when she shot, the recoil kicked back at her, and we both fell backward in our chairs, and the tent flew over the top of us and blew down the field.
Right.
So neither one of us literally knew if she shot the turkey. And the grass was high enough that we couldn't see the turkey, but she ended up hitting it. It was fantastic. Turkey is certainly not all you hunt, Dan. I mean, you've been involved with Safari Club for quite a while, and you've been around the world.
Yeah, I've been really lucky. And, you know, it's I've had a chance to hunt in a lot of different places, from Kyrgyzstan to Russia to Africa quite a few times, you know. And and Africa is one of those deals where, like, either you've always wanted to go there or you could care less. And I grew up reading Outdoor Life and reading these stories of Jack O'Connor and Fred Bear and all these people that have been to these exotic places. And I thought, you know, in 1986, I thought, I just want to go there. So 86, do the math. I mean, it's a while ago, you know. In those days, Joel, I would write a letter to the outfitter. It would take 2 or 3 weeks to get there. 2 or 3 weeks later, I would get a reply from him, and then we'd go back and forth. But I wanted to go one time my whole life. I wanted to go to Africa and bow hunting. And so I went there with a friend. We bow hunted in 1986.
How many times have you been back?
Well, I took some people there in May last year, and that was the 16th time that I've been to Africa in general, a lot of different countries, you know. And
you know, I have to admit, for me, going to Africa was one of those things that was literally on my I could care less list a year ago, 2 years ago. In fact, you know, having hunted only since I'm 38 and I'm now 50, that's 12 years. You can pack that 12 years in Wisconsin alone.
Sure.
But so destination hunting wasn't really high on my list. And it was actually because of COVID that I ended up in South Africa. You know, I had planned to go hunt Arctic caribou in Greenland. And then the COVID restrictions canceled that hunt, and we were able to pivot to South Africa. So, in fact, it's a place you've been before, Johnny Fetting Safaris.
Right.
I went to South Africa last August, and I have to tell you, that trip changed my life, and it changed my attitude about destination hunting. Experiencing a culture halfway around the globe, with the type of animals and the type of people you can encounter is just an incredible experience. You can't put it into words when people say, oh, are you going to go back to Africa? I've vowed to myself to go to South Africa once a year for the rest of my life now,
I know the feeling, right.
If you get an opportunity, and people say, well, I can't do it, it's too expensive. But if they actually look at it, you can do some destination hunts for incredibly reasonable prices.
You know, it's all relative, but yeah, I mean, it's one of the most affordable options there is, actually, you know, and Africa to me now is way more than going on a hunt. Like when my mom was in her 70s, I took her to Africa.
Wow.
And we did Kruger Park and Victoria Falls. And when my niece graduated from high school, I said, if you want to hunt, you can hunt. She was like, no. So we did touring and sightseeing and photo safaris, and took my nephew when he graduated from high school. He hunted a little bit. And so there's just, it's just an incredible world and incredible people. In some cases, has not changed in 200 years, some of these areas, you know, and it's like going back in time, and it's just a life-changing experience for sure. You said it best.
Yeah. It, I mean, it is life-changing. And I think that for me, in going from the United States, where we are a land of convenience, really, we really are blessed in this country to have the right conveniences we have, and the groceries that we have, and the opportunities to buy gear that we have. And when you go to South Africa, and don't get me wrong, South Africa is a first world country, no question, but it's got aspects of it that are frozen in time, like you said, and the service industry there. I mean, you almost do a double check and look over your shoulder when you go there, and you've got someone preparing a meal. And let's say you hunt kudu in the morning or impala in the morning, and you're having impala tenderloin or impala curry that's been prepared for you in the evening of your hunt. You are seeing firsthand every type of experience in life, from the old way of doing it to the modern way of doing it, and you get to experience. And that's what destination hunting has become to me, and that's why South Africa is such a big place in my heart. And it's just incredible to experience that, and it's very hard to describe.
It is. It's the best of the best, you know. And the people, you mentioned the hospitality, and people that are so concerned with every aspect of your trip and just want you to have a wonderful time, and the staff, everybody that's there, it's the best.
Yeah, and so I'm going to give a shout out to Johnny Fetting. Johnny Fetting Safaris, and Eric and Vuyo, our tracker and guide. They were just the kindest people who will be friends for the rest of my life, which is also important. But I want to stress too, when you're on a destination hunt, soak in the culture you're a part of as much as you soak in the hunt, because that's really, at the end of your life, you're never going to say, I'm glad I didn't do it.
Right.
All right, that takes us to the end of another break. We'll be right back on Raised in the Shaw with Joel Clayfish on 101 FM WAUK, 540 AM, The Shaw.